Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Drive Through HR, Brian, William, and Nisha, coming to you live every day talking about HR with HR superstars, and we definitely have one today, but these aren't going to be easy questions. I know that, you know, you're thinking softballs, anonymous guests, since you haven't introduced yourself yet, but these are all tough, hard-hitting journalistic questions that are coming your way. So, Nikki, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
If you would, introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll roll right out into what's top of mind.
Sure. So, again, thanks so much, guys, for having me back on the air. I'm really excited to be able to talk about some things. I am currently the senior manager of talent acquisition for Pizza Hut USA, and have about 15 years of recruiting experience in various industries, including the pharmaceutical industry, the retail industry, and now food. I am a mother of three and a wife, and so that's what really keeps me going day to day, but I'm super excited to be able to talk with you guys today.
What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
Well, you know, I think when I think about the Pizza Hut brand and what we're doing right now from a talent acquisition space, there are a couple of things that keep me up. One being, what's our value proposition to the organization? And then the other is, how do I get the recruiters that are currently here to make sure that the candidate experience doesn't stop when someone walks in the door? There's fierce competition out there for talent, and I'd be stupid to think that everybody wants to stay and work at Pizza Hut. And I think all other recruiters and people in leadership roles in recruiting shouldn't think that everybody's just going to stay with their company. What can we do from a recruiting standpoint to keep those people there?
What's for you, and even in the past experiences that you have, which are wonderful, what are the building blocks of candidate experience for you? Like, what are the things that are need to have, and then what are some of the nice to have things in the candidate experience for you?
So when I think about candidate experience, it starts really kind of at that first point of contact. And when I say first point of contact, I don't mean a contact with an actual person. I actually mean a contact with the brand. So that first initial contact is really a lot of times a job description or some sort of email or, you know, not personal communication with that person. And how do you get this person interested in what you have to say? It's not just about, you know, we have pretty things on our website and everything reads the right way in the job description. It's what are you saying? And I always use the term, how do you hook the person? Because once you hook the person, it makes it a lot easier. It even goes down to how do you have your profile on LinkedIn structured? You know, how are you involved in social media? What do you put out there? Because the first thing somebody's going to do is they're going to research the person that sent them something. And nine times out of ten, if I'm helping with the search or I'm doing some sort of research on somebody and I click on somebody and they know it's me, I can tell they've went and clicked on me to see, who is this person? You know, who is she all about? And so candidate experience starts really at that first point of contact, at that point where they see something or you sent them something, and getting that right. And you know, it's not about this long history of the job and how great the job is. A lot of times I just say, hey, you know what, there's great things going on at whatever company you're working for, and don't you want to be a part of what's happening here? And then you just give them a little bit of a taste of what the job is. Hey, got an excellent opportunity looking for. Right now I've got an opening on my team, and I'm looking for someone who loves recruiting. So guess what I have in my opening? I need somebody do you know someone who loves recruiting, who's enthusiastic, who's a great partner? And then when they look at my profile and they see, oh, my gosh, she's worked here, she's worked there. This is really interesting. I might not be interested, but, hey, let me send her some referrals. So.
What's your general take on candidate feedback?
I think it's really important, and I will tell you, I don't know a lot of companies that do it well. I'll say that we don't do it well here at Pizza Hut, and I can't say that I've ever worked anywhere where I've actually done a candidate survey. It's something that, you know, I'm looking at presenting to my boss this week about the metrics that we want to capture, and one of those is all about the candidate experience. I think when you talk to candidates and get their take on what their experience was, you get a little insight into what they really think about the company, and a lot of times it's not necessarily that person. I mean, hopefully they're digging really deep and they're really reflecting on the entire experience. It also gives you the opportunity to look at who are those leaders that you have meeting with these individuals and what are they saying. I think candidates are they should be fairly honest, especially if you establish that trust, and really great recruiters are really good at getting that feedback. We were meeting today about just our college program and I said, hey, what's some of the feedback that we're hearing from the schools and from the students about coming here and working for us? And it's illuminating because it can help you. It can either help you or hurt you, but if you use it to help you, it can help shape your strategy for the future. And that's what I think is important about listening to the candidate and making sure that you address their needs. And hopefully a lot of times it's great feedback, but I tell you what, I bet you a lot of times it's things that you could tweak along the way. Hey, no one met me in the lobby. Or I didn't get this email when you said you were going to send it to me. Or I sat for 15 minutes outside of somebody's door, and they're looking at me, and they're like, I'm on the phone. You know, those little things really can help or hurt your ability to actually recruit great talent, because talent, it's fierce out there. And so guess what? If their experience is just a little bit bad, they can go somewhere else and get a better experience. So it's really important to listen to what those candidates are saying when they come in, and that's something that's on my list in terms of metrics that I want to be able to measure.
In terms of the visualization of behind the veil, so one of the things that we do with candidates is we try to kind of explain how it is to work here and, you know, that, et cetera. How do you like to visualize the culture? Is it like through Pinterest or Instagram, or how do you get them into, here's what it's like behind the veil, here's our culture, here's our values, here's where we're good, here's where we're bad, you know, here's us?
I don't think it's just one thing. For me, in my approach to it is, I'm a very open and honest person. So one of the first, I think I've done interviews this week, and everybody's asked me, what's the culture like? And I like to give the good, the not so good, and sometimes the not so good, but because I want to be open and honest. I always talk about what the company is doing from a philanthropy and kind of community standpoint. I can't say that I always point people to social media or Instagram because I think we've got some work to do there. But my biggest thing is if I'm going to invite you into what I call our home here at Pizza Hut, or any company, anybody that you invite into your home, you need to make sure that they can see that culture. You need to make sure that you put that in the schedule, that they have an opportunity to actually walk around the building and see how people are working together and talk about, for Pizza Hut, it's very collaborative, very open. All of our offices are glass. You can see straight out our windows. Even if you're sitting in a cube, you can pretty much see the outside, and talking about how we foster that, you know, talking about those benefits that people don't always see. We're a global company now. That's a part of our culture. What does that look like from an international standpoint? So I look at it from several different lenses, and I think the biggest thing is to know the people that are within the organization, because it is very competitive out there. You need to know, hey, we're great because we have these types of people working here. And being able to articulate that and educating our managers about articulating, hey, I've got this person on my team that has this background, and we just hired this person from this background. And, oh, and by the way, this person actually went to the same school that you went to. So talking about culture is not just about pointing them to a social media space. It's also about what's actually going on inside this building. And it's not always all the fun stuff, because we have a lot of fun things that go along here, but it's really what's the value add. And that's what someone asked me today. What's the value proposition? You know, why would I want to come and work there? And I was able to really articulate, first thing I said was the international opportunities here. I said, oh, and we've got a rich recognition culture. Oh, and hey, I'm also a fabulous person to work for. So, but other than that, I mean, you just really have to know the people, the organization, and all the other things that are out there. While social media is great, I think it's only just a sliver of promoting the culture.
How do you like to get into the content of the day in the life? So everyone, every candidate wants to know this. Like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got all these things and, you know, 18 different bosses. Totally understand it. Matrix
yep.
organization. Yeah. So what's a day in the life like? So how do you render that content for candidates? Or how would you like to, if you don't do it currently? How would you like to?
And we actually do a really good job here of making sure that our interview slates have someone that's either doing the job or has done the job in the past. And it's not necessarily an interview. It's almost just this peer conversation to say, hey, tell me about what you do. And what's it really like? And I think it's also the recruiter's responsibility to sit down with someone who's doing the role. And this is basic stuff. This is not anything that I think is out of the ordinary. But the recruiter should know that as well. A recruiter shouldn't pick up the phone and call someone if they don't understand a day in the life of the job. And I've been in environments where I've actually sat down and spent, you know, a couple of hours with the person doing the job, or, hey, tell me what this person does. But I think for us, what we like to do is we just put people on the schedule to just have a quick coffee. This is a very open environment here, and if your culture has that sort of open environment where you can have someone sit down in the cafe, grab a Starbucks coffee, walk around the building, that's what we would do at JCPenney. We would just say, hey, you know what, this is a break, and we'd have someone from our kind of our candidate experience staff who might know the job or even just someone on the team and say, hey, why don't you have a coffee with the person? This is not an interview. Just talk about your experience. And talk about the work that you've done. Talk about the opportunity. I mean, so we prep people. You definitely have to prep them and let them know, hey, this is their opportunity to ask you those real tough questions about what's it really like working for this particular person and what are the challenges and what are the things that I could expect. So it's really about being open and honest and prepping and knowing exactly, knowing the role that the person is going into.
All right, let's pivot and talk about some recruiting metrics, and I want to kind of get into the recruiting metrics that matter. So we're gonna separate the stuff that people talk about and all that other stuff. But if you could only measure three things,
mm-hmm.
what would be the recruiting metrics that you would care the most about?
First one, turnover. I know that's not a recruiting metric, but it is. And when you think about turnover, why are people leaving your organization? You have to know that. And the reason why you have to know, and it's a tricky kind of turnover, you need to know why they're leaving or why did we exit them, so that you can make sure that if there's something in the culture that you need to change, you change it and you track it, and the level. So do we have certain people leaving at certain levels? You have to get so granular all the way down to female, male, schools. Is there a specific hiring leader that people are leaving from, departments? That's really important, and that's probably more from an executive level where people are really making the decisions about strategy. The other piece is, and it goes along with it, I think it's probably the same as far as retention, but the quality of the hire. It's very hard to measure quality of hire. It's probably one of the most difficult ones to measure. But how well is that person doing in the organization? But it also tacks onto your turnover. So if you brought somebody in, you predicted that they were going to be an above-average performer. After 6 months, they were. But then another 6 months goes by, and they're not, and you're rating them below average. What happens? you've got to figure that piece out. You've got to measure the quality, and quality is about what's the work that you have the person doing. And that's probably, like I said, it's really hard to measure that. And, oh, the third one, what would I measure? I'd have to go back to sort of the whole kind of client engagement, and that's a simple one, and candidate engagement, and what do people think about your brand. It's one of those ones, it's just a feedback. So I would say I want the feedback so that we can look and see, what do we need to change? What's not working right with what we're doing currently to attract talent? And then you've got all those other things out there about, you know, what's the word on the street, and how do you actually measure, I don't know the exact term, but how do you measure what people are saying, kind of the buzz out there in some sort of more scientific way? Because I think there's something there to understand what's your brand perception. What is your brand perception? And maybe it's not a recruiting metric, but it plays into how do you actually attract talent? Because that's what recruiters do. We attract talent. We find people. But those would be the kind of the ones that I think are really important, and obviously all the ones that everybody talks about.
Nikki, how would you help practitioners out there start to actually define what quality is for their organization?
Now, that's a hard question.
Thank you.
you got me on that one. You know, when I think about quality, and I'm going to tie this to culture, and the reason why I'm going to tie this to culture is because I think what companies don't do well is they think that culture is tied to quality, and I don't think that it is. When you think about culture, you hear this term called culture fit, right? And culture fit to me is like, okay, but if everybody fits into the culture, is that really a quality hire? So I'm kind of changing it up a little bit. Really, everybody fits into the culture, so everybody is not technically the same, but they kind of have the same thought process, and they're kind of the same. So are they really quality? Quality means to me is that you've got this person in your organization that is high performing, adding value. They're innovative. They've got sort of the pedigree of what you're looking for. But what we say here is they're going for breakthrough. They're breaking glass. I love the term breaking glass. And so everything that they spit out is quality work. It takes the work that they're doing and it levels it up. And you can see the value from a monetary standpoint. So the work that I do and the work that my team does should add value to the bottom line, because we're hiring people that are going to stay here, right? So we're going to lower our turnover, which means we're going to have higher productivity with our employees, which means they should be happy employees because they hopefully love the culture. And when they get here, they just perform. They continue to perform. So quality is like I said, that's a tough question, but that's kind of my definition of what quality is. And sometimes you don't know that the person is quality until you get them here. You know, you can do all the assessments and all that stuff, but sometimes you don't know. But if you get the recruiting process right on the front and you know what the job is, you've given them a great experience, you've let them see a day in the life, you know they meet all the qualifications, but still when they get here isn't really a quality hire, you have to see the work product, and you have to give it time, too. You can't just say after a month, well, I don't know if that's a great hire. No, you have to put milestones in place, and you have to set goals, and you really have to look at the work product and is it adding value, and what's the bottom line dollar that they're adding to the organization.
So on that same kind of quality metric, and knowing your background is, of course, engineering, would you say what's more important, people or process in talent acquisition?
Definitely people. A process can change, and I think process is necessary. It's a necessary when it comes down to recruiting. But when I think about recruiting, it's about people. I'm in the business of finding people. I'm not in the business of finding processes. And so that's where it comes down to and back to the whole notion of when you get an open requisition or a position, you really have to understand it because you have to be able to find the right people for the role. Process is great, but if you can't find people, you can't get people through the process, in my opinion. So that's kind of my two cents on that. I think the people are what's most important.
All right, again, Nikki, this is William. I've got to ask you a little bit more about employer branding. And
from
a metrics perspective, what should we be measuring in employer branding and specifically? Like what should we, as talent acquisition pros or even HR pros, what should we be keeping our eyes on from a metrics and measurements perspective around our employer brand?
Oh, you kind of stumped me on that one. I actually hadn't thought about metrics from an employer branding standpoint. If I look at, and so let me take a stab at this, because Pizza Hut is obviously a lot of people know Pizza Hut. So if I'm looking at the reach of the number of, and I'm going to just use Facebook as an example, how many people do we reach on Facebook from just our own consumer brand? It's millions and millions and millions of people. Now, if I look at an employer brand, I'm not just going to look at Facebook. I'm probably going to look at LinkedIn. I'm going to look at the Twitters. I'm going to look at all of those social media aspects in aggregate. But how active are our employees? I think the one thing is how active are our employees out there on social media and talking about our employer brand? But it's not just external, it's the internal piece. And one of the things that we've recognized here is that we need to get our internal employees more engaged in our brand. And how do we do that? We've got to start internally. So there's actually a big project right now. I'm not a part of that project. About getting our employees more engaged from the store level about our brand. I think we have to pay attention to kind of the buzz out there. And I know there's like the Glassdoor and all the places, but we need to be out really understanding what people are talking about us from our own employer brand. And I know there's places out there, but what are our employees saying? Not just what are people saying, what are our employees saying? And if our employees aren't out there from a social media standpoint, in terms of metrics, I don't know how we can really measure that. So I haven't personally done any true research on what that metric would look like, but obviously, you can look at the reach and how active are our own employees out there on social media when they're talking about the brand, not just their activity in social media. It's how active are they out there talking about our brand from all aspects, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of those places. And I think that recruiting kind of owns some of that as well in concert with marketing. But it's tricky. If you have the staff to have someone dedicated to it, and really measuring, you know, what's our brand voice out there and what are people saying and getting a pulse and making sure there's responses and all that stuff, then that's great. But if you don't have that ability, it's kind of hard to really, in my opinion, and I haven't dug really deep into that space, but it's kind of hard in right now for me to say, okay, how would we measure that?
So let's make you the czar of talent acquisition, like globally.
And so you just
kind of pull out that wad of cash and you got $100,000 to throw at a recruiting problem. Where do you spend it on social? Just get your, and this goes, I mean, there's big companies, little companies are all trying to be competitive and figure out how to get to those source, the people that you can't get to. So how do you spend money for those that are out there? Because you're talent acquisition, I mean, you know what you're doing. You've got you've worked for great brands. You've got to get to people.
Mm-hmm.
You're competitive. And you're not giving advice to anybody. This is just your unsolicited opinion.
Where would I spend the money? Oh, gosh. Oh, you kind of stumped me on that. Where would I spend the money if I had $100,000? On social media. You know what? Oh, gosh. okay, and I'm the czar, you know, I probably would, I would develop some sort of campaign that would hit every single, I wouldn't spend it in one place. So I wouldn't spend it in exactly one place. That's the one thing I know. But I would develop just this campaign that highlighted who we are. Because if I'm looking at Pizza Hut, that's the thing that's missing. And so I would work on developing a campaign that went out to every, as many social media outlets as I could. And I know that sounds simple, but I've got people that go out in the field and our employees don't even know everything about us. So how can I expect for anybody that we're trying to recruit to know anything about us? So I would take that money and spend it in a way that was more strategic and tap into as many social media outlets, but with the same sort of campaign and messaging, just like a marketing organization might do with a new product launch. And I would brand the company. It would be all about branding the company. I would highlight, you know, what's great. I would highlight employees across the entire organization and making sure that I have a focus on diversity, making sure that I had a focus on the philanthropy and our community service, highlighting the international aspects of our organization, but making sure the messaging is exactly the same across every single platform. So, you know, that's my best guess on that one.
No, great answer. That was so much better an answer than I would spend $50,000 sourcing like the top three people.
You're just trying to pump me up. No, I mean, it's hard to say because one of the other things that keeps me up is, you know, how do we really get our brand out there? We have an awesome brand. We're Pizza Hut. A lot of people know who we are. But to really make a concerted effort with the number of people that I have on my team, we can't make the impact. And something that's more national, I mean, you think about Taco Bell, and they just staffed up all of their stores for breakfast. Well, they didn't just do that by doing it in one area in terms of social media. They hit all areas. I mean, you can just pull up stuff that they did. But they also piggybacked off of the fact that their marketing was just freaking, you know, excuse my language, pretty damn awesome in promoting breakfast. I mean, so it didn't take a lot. I heard it didn't take a lot of effort for them to actually recruit all those people for their morning shifts. And so when you think about that, but we have a strong brand too. But their messaging was very consistent, though, very consistent, and they were out there in every single piece of social media that you could think of, and very creative, too, and outside of the box, and just didn't stick within this realm of, okay, we got to say it like this, we got to say it like that. You know, how ingenious is it to have all these Ronald McDonald's in these commercials? And, I mean, every time I see that commercial, I laugh my butt off. I'm like, this is just genius. I mean, I literally, I'm like, who thought of that? I was like, this is just like the smartest thing. But you know, that was just somebody sitting there in a room saying, you know what, why don't we just get Ronald McDonald? Oh, and now, oh, you know what, there's tons of Ronald McDonald's. And McDonald's classic, I mean, their response to it was hilarious. They've got the little chihuahua doll with, you know, Ronald McDonald sitting there patting them. But how much fun is that? I mean, that's total fun. And so I think it's about really being creative and getting outside the box and not taking yourself too seriously. I think sometimes in recruiting and just organizations that have a rich, deep culture and people know who they are, you sometimes take yourself too seriously and have a little fun with it. And I think Taco Bell is a great example of a company that's had a lot of fun with the brand, and it's been very successful too.
Oh, and yeah, and that's absolutely, and we have about a minute left, Nikki. Great show, and totally agree. I'm so in love with the T-Bell brand and the team over there. I mean, they really have conquered. I mean, they're the only one to really, big brands, to kind of jump in on Snapchat and have, like, the wherewithal to kind of conquer, like, the unspoken last, you know, new media. So they've just did an epic job. So where can we just got about 30 seconds left. Excuse me. Where can people connect with you if they want to tell you what an amazing job
They can connect with me on Twitter at AKA, oh my goodness, I can't even remember my Twitter handle. That's not good. I'm under Nikki Gibson on Twitter. And I'm also on Instagram at AKA Nikki D and AKA Nikki G. And then I'm also on LinkedIn under Nikki Gibson as well.
Perfect. And everybody, it's also on Twitter, AKA Nikki D. So you can definitely connect with her.
Yeah, Nikki, thank you. Nikki D and Nikki G on Instagram. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for joining us. Great share of kind of your background, and you rolled through the hard questions like a champ. So
yeah,
hopefully you'll
thank
join.
You
did a great job, and always good to hear your voice. Folks, we got to roll. We're a little over time. Have a good rest of the day.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.